And welcome to Here's a Thought, the blogcast for people who overthink. I'm your host, Jan M. Flynn. I'm a writer who rarely has met a topic I couldn't overthink. It's kind of an occupational hazard, but you don't have to be a writer to need a break now and then from the voices in your head. So once a week, I invite you to take a recess and listen to the ones in mine. I'm thrilled to report that our blogcast audience is growing, and nothing floats my boat like hearing from listeners. If you have a comment or a suggestion for a topic you'd like to hear overthought in an upcoming episode, please reach out. You can email me at heresathought8@gmail.com, contact me via my website at janmflynn.net, or DM me on Twitter at @janmflynnauthor. You'll find those links in the show notes. And your contributions make Here's a Thought a better show. As a writer, words are pretty much my stock in trade, so I care about them. A lot. Words, after all, are what we use to give shape to our ideas and thoughts and feelings so we can share them with each other. Words have power. Even if, sometimes, words fail us, we can't find just the right ones that convey the message we hope to get across. Nobody said communication is always easy, no matter how many gadgets we have to send our thoughts out into the ether. Sometimes it takes real courage to speak up, and I am always a champion of freedom of speech and self-expression. That's why I get my socks in a knot at the current enthusiasm for banning books. Banishing books is bad, full stop. It's a crime against thought and self-expression, especially when books are banned, as they almost always are, by ideologues who want to suppress any point of view that doesn't conform to their own worldview. Banned books. That is a serious thing. But it's not really what we're talking about today. Nope, we're talking about banished words, which is also a thing, as I will explain in a moment. Let's face it. There are some words and expressions we're not afraid of or even deeply offended by. We're just tired of hearing them. Or we're tired of how they gum up our conversations or how just plain annoying they've become. Of course, given that we don't live in the world of George Orwell's Big Brother, at least not yet, banning words is impossible. I mean, if we could ban words, maybe we could get older kids to stop launching saturation F-bombing campaigns the minute they leave their house or campus. And as a former middle school teacher, you can trust me on that. As for politicians and talking heads who routinely abuse the power of words and misspeak deliberately and with abandon, it's one more reason I've stopped watching television news. I can't shut them up, but I don't have to let them spout their poorly chosen words in my own home. Because the next time I have to listen to somebody whose job is supposed to be making our lives more stable and secure respond to yet another act of wholesale violence with their thoughts and prayers, I might just throw my shoe through the TV. And I can't afford to do that. Don't get me wrong. I have no vendetta against thoughts and prayers when they're sincerely offered. It's just that, as a phrase, when used to deflect any responsibility after yet another mass shooting or similar atrocity, thoughts and prayers is worse than meaningless. It's an affront. If I could, I'd banish the expression thoughts and prayers, or at least send it into temporary exile. Then again, that might get me burned at the stake. But it turns out I might not have to. There's a recognized list of banished words that is published every year. And the official 2023 banished words list is out. Actually, it's been out since New Year's Eve. But if you're still using banished words, the year is young. Now that the Super Bowl is behind us, we can focus our energy on clearing up our communications. Jargon, buzzwords, nonsense terms, lazy filler words, all those trite and overused terms that seep from popular culture into our speech and writing, like toxic sludge. They're tantamount to the worn-out junk that accumulates in your closets, the dust bunnies under your bed, the mystery containers full of fuzzy somethings at the back of your refrigerator shelves. It's time to toss them. Just like spring cleaning, our vocabularies benefit from annual decluttering. And thanks to Lake Superior State University in Michigan, we have expert guidance. The LSSU School of Arts and Letters has been publishing a banned words list of 10 words, phrases, or expressions annually since 1976. Who knew? Apparently, a lot of people. Lake Superior State receives thousands of nominations every year for the list, which it has since copyrighted, as its recent press release explains, quote, to uphold, protect, and support excellence in language by encouraging avoidance of words and terms that are overworked, redundant, oxymoronic, clichéd, illogical, nonsensical, and otherwise ineffective, baffling, or irritating. As a word warrior myself, I applaud their mission, and it's good to know I'm not the only one who has to clench their jaw while suppressing the impulse to correct someone's grammatical abuses, or whose eyeballs roll when confronted with clichés. As Peter Zutmeri of LSSU says, quote, words and terms matter, or at least they should. I am in full agreement with Mr. Zutmeri, and I refuse to feel bad about that. Note that I did not say that I refuse to feel badly, one of those unfortunate misconstructions of speech I hear often and which always makes my toes curl. Need I point out that in this usage, the word feel is a linking verb rather than an action verb, and to proclaim that one feels badly is to admit to a malfunction of one's sensory faculties. Feel badly did not make the list this year. Maybe I'll nominate it for 2024, along with thoughts and prayers. I haven't checked the entire list of past selections, of which there are more than 1,000. But there are many past words and terms that I am happy to see kicked to the curb, which is a phrase that might end up on a future list, come to think of it. Expressions like bromance, surely, viable alternative, and one that always makes me silently scream, at this point in time. But let's move on to what did make the list for 2023. In the spirit of contributing to better speech and clearer thought, I offer the 2023 list of the words and phrases that the LSSU judges wish to see eliminated from discourse, with my personal take on each one. To see the judges' reasoning behind each selection, you can find a link in the show notes to access the LSSU press release or go to lssu.edu/banished words, where you can find this year's list, the archive of previous year's lists, and make nominations for the 2024 list. So here goes. Number one, GOAT. That's G-O-A-T in all caps. The greatest of all time? Says who and upon what authority? And how can an acronym that has been applied equally to Jeopardy champions, athletes from a myriad of sports, and chicken wings carry any substance? GOAT might have been cute once, but I agree with the LSSU judges. By now, it's just a meaningless bleat. Number two, inflection point. Does anybody even know what this is supposed to mean or care? Why not just say turning point instead? Are we just trying to prove we went to college? Number three, quiet quitting. Trendy but inaccurate, say the LSSU judges, and I can't disagree. Declining to work more hours than one is paid for, or refusing to be endlessly available to one's boss outside of agreed-upon hours, is not the same thing as quitting. If the idea is to promote better work-life balance, which might be another term to retire, this one is counterproductive. Number four, gaslighting. I take some issue with this selection. Yes, it has become popular, perhaps overly so, but I'm not sure that awareness of what constitutes gaslighting has fully made it into general understanding. Those who nominated it feel that it's now used too casually, thereby softening the seriousness of its meaning, which is sinister psychological manipulation that seeks to make its target distrust their own perceptions. That is indeed a concern. But the same thing could be said of the word trauma these days. Number five, moving forward. This one should have been thrown out with the trash years ago, especially in business speak. I had a boss who used it so much it made my ears twitch, and that was in the early 2000s. Number six, amazing. I admit to leaning on this one myself, out of laziness. Is my friend's new haircut actually amazing, or do I just like how it looks on her? It's not like she's arranged her hair into a facsimile of the Eiffel Tower on top of her head. Moving forward, I pledge to do better. Number seven, Does that make sense? Innocent on its face, this term is often used as a disingenuous request for confirmation. It's also used to excuse sloppy speech or thought. In my opinion, which you may have noticed is never humble, one would do better to ask this question of oneself before opening one's mouth or setting one's fingers to the keyboard. I hope that makes sense. Number 8, irregardless. I'm frankly shocked this hasn't made the list until this year. It's not even a word. There is no ear in regardless, people. Number 9, absolutely. So prevalent and persistent that it was first banished in 1996, but has made the list again this year, it's another lazy, threadbare word that I am also guilty of using. This year, I'm absolutely giving it up. And now we come to the last on the list, number 10. It is what it is. Another repeat, originally banished in 2008. Having had this term repeatedly lobbed at me by a financial planner as he blandly sought to explain away an error that cost me thousands, my hatred of it burns with the heat of a thousand suns. Of course it is what it is, because what else could it be? And what is your point exactly? Please, just stop. I am grateful to the Lake Superior State University School of Arts and Letters. Now that I know, however belatedly, that it exists, I will be paying close attention to the annual banished words list. If there is a hashtag Words Matter movement, count me among its ardent supporters. Because as Mark Twain, who was no slouch when it came to word choice, once wrote, "The difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter. It's the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning." Thanks for listening to Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn. New episodes launch weekly, so if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And as a podcast listener, you have a lot of power to extend a show's reach when you tell your friends about it or leave a nice review or a star rating. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line. You'll find easy ways to do that in the episode notes. And if you'd like to support the show with a $3 monthly donation to defray costs, you'll find a way to do that as well. Until next time, may your ears and eyes be graced by exactly the right words at exactly the right times, and may all your thoughts be good ones.